ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। यदा कदाचित् जीवात्मा संसरन् निजकर्मभिः नानायोनिषु अनीशोऽयम् पौरुषिं गतिमाव्रजे। ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस अभय चरणारविंद भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद। व्हाइल रोटेटिंग इन द साइकिल ऑफ बर्थ एंड डेथ अगेन एंड अगेन इन डिफरेंट स्पीशीज बिकॉज ऑफ हिज ओन फ्रीटिव एक्टिविटीज द डिपेंडेंट लिविंग एंटिटी बाय गुड फॉर्च्यून मे हैपन टू बिकम अ ह्यूमन बींग। This human birth is very rarely achieved. Purport. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is fully independent. Thus, it is not always a fact that a living being's loss of all opulence is a sign of Supreme Lord's mercy upon him. The Lord can act any ways he likes. He may take away one's opulences, or he may not. There are varieties of forms of life, and the Lord treats them according to the circumstances as he chooses. Generally, it is to be understood that the human form of life is one of great responsibility. Purushaha prakriti sthohi bhungte prakriti jan gunan karanam gunasangasya sad asad joni janmasu. The living entity in material nature follows the way of life, enjoying the three modes of material nature. This is due to his association with that material nature. Thus, he meets with good and evil amongst various species. After thus rotating through many, many forms of life in the cycle of birth and death, the living being gets a chance for a human form. Therefore, every human being, especially one belonging to a civilized nation or culture, must be extremely responsible in his activities. He should not risk degradation in the next life. Because the body will change, tatha dehantara prapti, we should be extremely careful. To see the proper use of life is the purpose of Krishna consciousness. The foolish living entity declares freedom from all control, but factually, he is not free. He is fully under the control of material nature. He must therefore be most careful and responsible in the activities of his life. Sarva Sastrabdhi Piyusha, Sarva Vaidaika Satphala, Sarva Siddhanta Ratanadhya, Sarva Loka Ekadrikpada, Sarva... Hare Krishna. After the Supreme Personality of Godhead starts speaking to the fervent prayers of the demigods, the aim over here for speaking this verse, Lord Vamandev is building up how glorious is Bali Maharaj. In the first verse yesterday, and just consequently today, he is mentioning how the living entity, although I am merciful to him by taking everything, and he achieves a rare human birth, but even though having a very good birth, Bali Maharaj has not deterred. He is very much determined to follow devotional service under any circumstance. Once, I was just, somebody's mobile rang, and the ringtone was Srila Prabhupada's lecture, where he's speaking in a very, very compassionate mood. He's saying, you have got this body, after wandering to the repeated birth and death, a cycle of 8.4 million species. Don't become hogs and dogs. Please take up to devotional service. That one statement, it was just out of blue that the mobile rang and it just shook me up. Because there is so much compassion and so much fervent appeal in that prayer. Srila Prabhupada very succinctly is describing in the whole purport how this human form of life is a life of responsibility and one should follow devotional service to his best of capacity. Once, just Gauram Guru was mentioning yesterday that Yogeshwar Prabhu, he was clicking pictures of Srila Prabhupada and he was trying to click the pictures from every angle that he could get. Trying to stand on a stool, standing on a rock. So while doing that, he slipped and he tumbled down right at the feet of Srila Prabhupada. And looking at Yogeshwar Prabhu, Prabhupada sternly said, "Don't risk unnecessarily this rare human form of birth." Also, as the Supreme Personality of Godhead is wanting the living entities to concentrate upon the human form of life, it's like a clarion call, a call for action. Uttishta jagrata prapya pravan nimodhara shurasya dhara nishita duratyaya durgam pathastat kavayo vadanti. Get up. You have got this valuable human form of life. Perform devotional service, which is like a razor's edge. Don't waste even a moment. The call for action that the Supreme Personality is giving, that act now. Don't be complacent. In King Kulashekar's prayers, Mukundamala Stotra, he speaks of what is the condition of the mind. And tries to solace the mind by saying, Mabhiramandamano vichinta bahuda yamis chiram yatana naivami prabhavanti paparivaha swami nanu shridhara alasya vapaniya bhakti sulabam dhyayasva narayanam lokasya vasanapanadanakaro dasasya kim nakshama. He's saying, oh foolish mind, why are you worrying? Why are you worrying of the yatanas that the yama will give to you because of your sinful activities? Don't you know who your master is? The master is Sridhara, who provides for the wants of every living entity. So just get up, oh ignorant fool. Get out of your ignorance. Act. Alasya vapaniya. Leave your laziness. Dhyayasva Narayanam. Worship the Supreme Lord Narayana. Lokasya vasana panadanakaro dasasya kim nakshama. What can't he do for his own living entity? His own son. After analyzing this verse, I have, the main two points that Srila Prabhupada mentions, or the Supreme Personality of Godhead is mentioning in his verse, is the first is how the living entity is in the repeated cycle of birth and death, taking different species and suffering miserably. And second is how he, by a fortune of luck, he gets a rare human form. The word that is used in the verse is samsaran, that is rotating in the cycle of samsara. Samsara essentially means this material existence. And when a living entity, because of his fruitive activities, again and again perpetuates his life because of his unwanted desires, then that is called as the repeated cycle, a loop. Where he is again and again foolishly taking birth, not knowing the real purpose of life. The Lord mentions in Bhagavad Gita, Mamai vamsho jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatanaha manah shashthani indriyani prakriti sthani karshati. It seems very easy to hear this, but after spending and realizing through the scriptures the state of what havoc the senses and the mind can do, the living entity then wakes up to this clarion call of the Lord that wake up and do something about it. Here the Lord is explicitly saying the living entity is struggling, karshati, is struggling in this material world because of his five senses and the sixth sense called as mind. The mind is taking him up and down, tossing him like a ball, hitting him hard by the waves of miseries. Frustrated and sick because of the sufferings of this material world, the living entity, still being ignorant, does not surrender to the Lord. Shankaracharya, in his fervent prayers to Shri Lakshmi Narasimha, he gives a beautiful, or not a beautiful, but a very, very brief and detailed picture of the samsara, how the samsara is, and not only what the samsara is, but what happens to that living entity in the cycle of birth and death. To give a background, why he speaks of this cycle, Shankaracharya, Jai Shraddha Gopinath Bhagavan Ki Jai. Shankaracharya, after writing the different bhashyas, is out on his preaching tour. And amongst the people whom he is defeating, he comes to Bihar. And there, he has to defeat the great scholars, Madana and Ubhaya Bharati. Who is this Ubhaya Bharati? She is none other than Goddess Saraswati. So Shankaracharya, when he enters the house of Madana, Madana, who is a perfect follower of the Vedic rituals, he is sitting there and worshipping Jaimini and Vyasadeva. And at that time, looking at sannyasi, being averse to sannyasis, Madana shouts at Shankaracharya to leave this place at once. But Shankaracharya proposes to have an argument. And on the perusal of Vedavyas, the debate starts. Many days the debate goes on, and the judge is Ubhaya Bharati, none other than Goddess Saraswati. Ubhaya, what she does is, she puts two garlands. She gives two garlands and says that the person whose garland fades away will be the one who is defeated. And very soon, as Madana is defeated by the arguments of Shankara, his garland fades. Madana accepts that, yes, I have been defeated. But Ubhaya Bharati, being a chaste wife, she again challenges Shankaracharya. She said that you know all the rungs of knowledge, but one rung of knowledge you have to explain to me, and that is the knowledge of Shringara Rasa. Shankaracharya gets dumbfounded because he was a celibate since his childhood, a Bala Brahmachari. What would he know about the amorous activities between a man and a woman? So Shankaracharya takes a small interval and says that I'll come back to you, let me think about it. Shankaracharya, with his contingent of disciples, Padmapad and many others, they're thinking what to do. Shankaracharya says that in the garb of a sannyasi, I cannot at this stage learn this art. But definitely, I can enter in somebody's body who is materially renowned, and I can learn this science. So by their mystic powers, they sail through the air and see that in a kingdom, a king is dead. So Shankaracharya enters the body of that king. As a king, he administers the whole city very nicely. And at the same time, he learns the art of Shringara Rasa. But as the ministers see that suddenly this king has got such splendor gait, what is this that the king has become now? He is administering the whole kingdom nicely, and he's best. He was not like this. What has happened? And they come to know that surely a great soul has entered the body of our king. And if he has entered the body of the king, then definitely his body must be lying somewhere around. So the ministers, they secretly give that a mission to the soldiers that go and burn all the dead bodies that are not taken care of. And very soon, they find the body of Shankaracharya and put it on fire. At the same, as the body is burning, Shankaracharya realizes that the body is burning and rushes back to the spot. But seeing the body burning, he feels agony. And that is the time when he mentions the prayers. When he composes this beautiful prayer, Lakshmi Narasimha Karunarasa Stotra. Invoking the amazing compassion, the unlimited compassion of Lord Narasimha Dev. He composes this poem in the proper way a poem is composed. That is, first, the glorification of the Lord. Second, the condition that he is suffering through. And third, finally, the plea to please help me. In the first two prayers, he mentions of how the Lord is the Lord of ocean residing on the Ananta Kshetra. Jai Shri Radha Gopinath Bhagwan ki Jai. Shrimad Apayo Nidhi Niketana Chakra Pane Bhogindra Bhogamani Rajita Punya Murte Yogesha Shashvata Sharanya Bhavabdhi Pota Lakshmi Narasimha Mama Dehi Karavalambam Brahmendra Rudra Marudarka Kirita Koti Shanghatti Tangri Kamala Malakanti Kanta Lakshmi Lasat Kuchasharoru Haraja Hamsa Lakshmi Narasimha Mama Dehi Karavalambam. After mentioning various names of Shri Lakshmi Narasimha, he says that you are the one who can give Bhavabdhi Pota. For whoever takes shelter of a lotus feet, he can give the shelter and remove that person from the loop of birth and death. And next he says that you are so glorious that each and every demigod is bowing down with their tens and millions of helmets. And such is your beautiful position. But very soon he starts his own condition. Actually, Shankaracharya, just as Arjuna represents the living entity and asks questions to Lord Krishna, similarly here, Shankaracharya, taking a form of a conditioned living entity, is mentioning how the living entity is suffering in the cycle of samsara.
Samsara davadahana kula bhishanoru jwala vali biyati dhagda tanuru hasya tvatpada padma sarasim sharanagatasya lakshmi narasimha mama dehi karavalambam.
Here Shankaracharya is comparing the samsara to a davanala, a forest fire. He's saying that I am burning in this forest fire just like an ignorant animal who is caught and is crying pitiably for help because he's burning. He's burning and nobody to help. Shankaracharya is saying that, O Lakshmi Narasimha, your lotus feet are like the cool pond that can be taken shelter and are the only source of shelter in the calamity of forest fire. O Lakshmi Narasimha, please bless me with your lotus hands. Next, the samsara is compared to a net of punishment. It's very, very amazing that how, by beautiful analogy, Shankaracharya is making us realize that what is the condition that you are in.
Samsara jala patitasya jagannivasa sarvendriyartha badishagara jashopamasya protkampita prachurata lukamastakasya lakshmi narasimha mama dehi karavalambam.
He's saying that I am caught in this net of punishment. And here, the bait of sense gratification is being caught by my senses. And like a fish, when it is caught by a bait, and then the fisherman, when he takes out the net, the bait pierces through the mouth of the fish. And the way it trembles, oh Lord, I am trembling. I'm trembling because of this net of punishment. The material nature is severely punishing me because of my intense greed and activities of sense gratification. Please, O Lakshmi Narasimha, bestow the mercy upon me by touching me by your lotus hands. Next, the samsara is compared to a deep blind well. If we imagine to be in a deep blind well, you know, once when we had electricity cut and everybody suddenly was in deep dark, you know, what to do? Full illusion around you. You can't understand what to do, why that. Of course, the devotees started chanting. But a living entity who is fully ignorant, Shankaracharya is saying, as the living entity is drowning and is fallen in this samsara koopam ghoram agadham mulam samprapya dukkha shata sarpa samakulasya dinasya deva kripaya padamagatasya lakshmi narasimha mamadehi karavalambam. The living entity is fallen in this deep blind well of samsara. And what has happened? As he has fallen in this well, he is not alone there. He is there with tens and millions of hundred-hooded serpent of miseries who is biting him. This serpent is biting him again and again and is pitiably crying. So he is saying, like that I am fallen in this koopa. O Lakshmi Narasimha, please save me. Next, he cannot control himself. He's saying that, O Lakshmi Narasimha, just as you have killed Hiranyakashipu, you have squeezed him by your hand. Please squeeze this cycle of birth and death and let me out of here. Samsara vikara karindra karabhighata nishpidya manava pusha shakalarati nasha prana prayana bhavabiti samakulasya Lakshmi Narasimha mama dehi karavalambam. Please help me tear away this cycle of birth and death just as you have teared Hiranyakashipu to pieces. Next, he compares this sarpa, this samsara, to a sarpa. Sarpa who has fangs and he's biting. He's saying that this samsara is like a million-hooded snake who's biting and injecting the poison into my blood. And what is happening because of this? I'm falling into illusion, not knowing who am I, who the Lord is, and what my relationship with the Lord is. Please, O Lord, you are who? You are Shauri. You are riding on Garuda. Who is the enemy of snake? Please come and provide me. As I am suffering with poison, please give me the nectar. O Lord, please help me. Samsara sarpa vishadigda mahogratevra damstik dakoti paridashta vinashtamurte nagari vahana shudabdhi nivasha shaure Lakshmi Narasimha mama dehi karavalambam. Next, he's blaming himself, saying, Samsara vrikshamagabhijam anantakarma shakha yutam karanapatra vananga pushpam aruhya dukkha phalinam patitam dayalo Lakshmi Narasimha mama dehi karavalambam. He is confessing that yes, this samsara is not to be blamed. I am to be blamed. My sinful desires, out of which this vriksha has sprouted. And what has happened because of this? This vriksha has grown voraciously. And what has happened? The reactions to the fruitive activities are its branches. The senses are its leaves. And the flowers are what? The Cupid's attraction. And this, as I have climbed this tree to enjoy the fruits, I have only got dukkha. Just as the bija is sin, the reaction also is only misery and calamity. We put the seed of mango, we'll get mango. But if we put a seed of bitter gourd, we are definitely going to get a bitter fruit. So similarly, here he's saying that, yes, this samsara is only come because of me. Because of my desire, you have thrown me here and I am suffering. But please, O Lord, I have suffered enough. Aruhya dukkha phalinam patitam dayalo. I am falling again and again. Please, O Lord, save me from this material existence. Samsara sagara vishala karala kala nakra graha grasita nigraha vigrahasya
व्याधस्य रागनिचयोर्मिनि पीडितस्य लक्ष्मी नरसिंह मम देहि करावलंबम.
He's saying that this samsara is like an ocean, and myself, I am on the banks, being tossed again and again because of my sinful attachment. Oh Lord, here not only I am being tossed, but the crocodile of my attachment is tearing me, piercing me, ripping me apart. Please, O Lord, take me out of this ignorant and miserable condition. Next, again he's saying how he's diving and he's actually drowning in this ocean.
Samsara sagar nimajjana muhiyamanam dinam vilokaya vibho karuna nidhemam prallada kheda parihara kritavatara lakshmi narasimha mama dehi karavalambam.
O Lord, I am drowning in this ocean of material existence. But just as we have saved Prahlad, please save me also. I will definitely try to follow the devotional service, but please at once save me of this material existence. Then again, he again continues his comparison of samsara. He's saying the samsara is like a pit.
Samsara gora gahane charato murare maro grabikara mega prachuraditasya artasya matsarandidagda shudhukitasya lakshmi narasimha mama dehi karavalambam.
He's saying that because of my envy, I'm fallen in this ghora gahane, in this pit where there is immense darkness. Oh Lord, please, just like an animal is tormented by fear of death, I have this fear of death. Please save me. And what will happen after death? In the next verse he says,
Badhva galeyam bhata bahutarya janta karshant yatra bhavapash shatair yutam mam ekakinam paravasham chakitam dayalo lakshmi narasimha mama dehi karavalambam.
He's saying the servants of Yamraj are dragging me to his abode, beating me severely on the path. Bound by the material existence in hundreds of ways, I stand alone, helpless and trembling under the influence of superior force of Daivi Maya. Oh Lakshmi Narasimha, please save me. Next, he again gives beautiful names of Lakshmi Narasimha.
Lakshmi Pate Kamalanaba Suresha Vishnu Yadnena Yadnamadasudana Vishwarupa Brahmanya Keshava Janardana Vasudeva Lakshmi Narasimha Mama Dehi Karavalambam. Ekena Chakram Aperena Karena Shankham.
In one hand you are holding a chakra, in other you are holding a shankha. Annena Sindhu Tanayam Avalambhatishtham. And in other hand you are holding the Sindhu Tanaya, that is Lakshmi Devi. Vame tarena varadabaya padma chinnam. And with the other hand, you are offering a hand of benediction. Please benedict me, O Lakshmi Narasimha, and save me from this cycle of samsara. Then he is saying how his actual enemies are his senses.
Andhasya merita viveka mahadhanasya chorair mahabalibirindriya kamadheye mohandakara kuhare vinipatitasya Lakshmi Narasingha mama dehi karavalambam.
He's saying that I was actually a wealthy man, knowing all the spiritual knowledge in the spiritual world. I was very much happy, but because of my sense, because my desire of sense gratification and lording it over the material nature, I have been fallen in this pit of material existence. Please, O Lord, the senses have looted me of all my valuable knowledge. Please bestow your merciful hand and save me of this material existence. You reside in the hearts of the best of devotees like Prahlad Maharaj, Narada Muni, Parashamuri, Pundarika, Vyasadev and others. You are very fond of your devotees and you are their Parijata tree of protection. O Lord, please protect me. After giving such beautiful analogies and beautiful comparison of samsara as the body of Shankaracharya was on fire, by the grace of Lakshmi Narasimha, the fire disappeared and cooled down. There are various another instances also where he sings these prayers for help of Lakshmi Narasimha, and the Lord Narasimha helps Shankaracharya and saves him. After hearing a very vivid explanation of samsara, we have to saving grace Bhaktivinoda Thakur's beautiful song, where he mentions that how the living entity is suffering in this material world, but the only solution is to take to Krishna consciousness. Ar kenu maya jale padite che jiva meena nahi janu badh podi robe tumi chiro dina. He's saying that, O living entity, you have fallen in this material world, but until unless you realize your fallen condition, you are not going to come out of this. Ati tuchya bhoga ache bandhi hoye maya pashe rohili vikrita bhave bandhi tumi chirodina. He's saying that, what is your condition? For a little sense gratification, this tuchya desire of sense gratification, you have agreed to remain a servant of the material existence. Why are you suffering this material existence? But not only this, the next verse he gives a very succinct and a very precise solution. Ekhono bhakati bale Krishna prema sindhu jale. He's saying that on the power of bhakti, ekhono bhakati bale Krishna prema sindhu jale, in the ocean of Krishna prema, he's saying that you'd nicely float on that. Raho tumi chiro dina. Ekhana bhakati bale Krishna prema sindhu jale. What is next time? Krida kari anayase thako tumi Krishna dhina. Under Krishna's protection, you frivolously play in these oceans of bhakti. Next, just as the two parts of the verse, one is samsara and next is a rare human form of life. Srila Prabhupada mentions in the purport to the third canto that unless a living entity accepts the shelter of the spiritual master, he cannot break the cycle of birth and death. The jiva atma, the jiva bhuta can turn into brahma bhuta only by surrendering to a bona fide spiritual master, and when that spiritual master provides him this suffering living entity, Brahmanda Bhumita Kamir Bhagyavana Jeev, suffering and taking so many births, when the guru gives the Bhakti Lata Beej, when the disciple he nicely nurtures that Beej with chanting and hearing, that Bija grows into a creeper, and that creeper will take him back to Godhead, fulfilling the ultimate goal of life, which is Krishna Prem. The rarity of human form of life. Once Tamal Krishna Maharaj asked Srila Prabhupada that out of so many activities in Krishna consciousness, Srila Prabhupada, what is most important? Book distribution, and he gave so many other activities. Prabhupada said, save yourself. That is the most important activity. Janma sarthaka kari kar paropakar. First save yourself and then save the whole world. The living entity, as he is transmigrating from different species, when he realizes that his eternal position is to serve Krishna and he takes shelter of a guru, then the path of liberation is clear. In our deity worship, when we start our prayers for deity worship, the Bhuta Shuddhi is a beautiful prayer that we start with. The prayer goes as, you know, I am by nature the eternal servant of Krishna, but because of my bad fortune, I have been inimical towards him from time immemorial. And thus, I have identified myself with my body and continuously wandered in this cycle of birth and death in the material world. suffering the burning threefold miseries. Now, as a result of some unimaginable good fortune, my spiritual master's mercy has enabled me to know that I am Krishna's eternal servant, an infinitesimal spiritual being, completely apart from the gross and subtle body. And so, by the order of my spiritual master, I have obtained the good fortune of serving his lotus feet and following in his footsteps, the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Sri Sri Radha Gopinath. Srila Prabhupada, again and again throughout his different books, mentions what is the significance of this rare human birth. This human birth is compared to, you know, a person getting a human birth is like a plank which has a round hole, which is lying, which is floating in an ocean, and a living entity which is like a tortoise which is floating, and when it comes out of the ocean, what is the probability that just as the tortoise is coming out, that he comes out exactly out of that round shape of the plank? The probability is very low. So similarly, the probability of a living entity to get a human birth is very low. But in this human birth, if we acknowledge the rarity of the human birth and take to devotional life seriously, then that will be the success of life. Prahlad Maharaj mentions in his prayers, Kaumarat acharet pragyo dharman bhagavatan iha. He's saying that as you have achieved this human birth, this rare and valuable human birth, now please take to this devotional life since your childhood, as he's preaching to his friends who are children. He's saying, take care of this devotional service. Otherwise, you'll lose the opportunity for serving the Lord and liberating yourself from the cycle of samsara. Srila Prabhupada mentions in another purport that any action other than devotional service is any action other than serving Krishna puts others in illusion, and that perpetuates his birth in the cycle of birth and death, his basically entry in the cycle of birth and death. And what happens because of that? He sees something other than Krishna, which is illusion, and that illusion again perpetuates his birth. Basically, after mentioning all the points, the conclusion that I would like to present is that one has to be grateful to the spiritual master for giving him the knowledge of the rarity of the human birth, and thus take life seriously and follow the path of devotional service diligently and with a determination in spite of so many obstacles that the material world will put forth to us. My only wish and prayer is that after reading this verse, I'll get some sanity into my tiny brain and accept the service of Sri Guru and Gauranga with my full heart and soul. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Any corrections or comments? Vamandev. He is telling the demigods, he is glorifying demigods. Not Bali Maharaj. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki, Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda ki, Nitai Gaura Premanande, Hari Hari Bo.